This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
AEW! AEW, what is up, everybody? It's Friday night, a Friday night after the coolest night in wrestling. AEW has finally arrived, and we are still on cloud nine. But we're not into wrestling enough to spend our Friday watching SmackDown. We're here with you to talk independent comics and independent wrestling. What's going on, Fred?
What's up, Andrew?
Just another week.
Yeah.
You know, lots of wrestling, lots of comics. It was kind of hard to narrow the comics down this week. I saw how many great comics were on that list. I mean, we're not talking about this week. We're talking about the week before. You know, Vault alone. My Lord, there was like seven Vault comics or something like that.
That's true. Vault is killing it.
Vault is killing it. Plus everyone else who is dropping an independent comic that week. Why are they always at once? And then we have these other weeks where there's like, dude, can we find a third comic? I don't know if we can.
Well, you mean the weeks that feels like it's full of jobbers and jabronis?
Jobbers and jabronis all the way. It feels like I'm watching the episodes of ROH. Not good. Not good at all.
Spoilers.
But yeah, so luckily, you know, we had some great comics this week. We had some incredible wrestling, which we're going to get into here at the end. We're probably going to gush about wrestling this week. No way around it. We also have a Kickstarter. Big project, too. We're going to do our best to kind of bring that in. And yeah, that's it. So we'll go ahead and get into our comic books for this week, unless you have something else you need to add on the news or...
No, we're good.
All right. We're good. All right, so the first comic is Gods and Gears number one. After the racing mishap strands Jimmy Shotgun King somewhere in time, he meets Eli, a young adventurer toying with magic and mysteries far beyond his control. Godlike beings, future tech, and an advanced race of gorillas round out this sword and sorcery adventure, perfect for readers of all ages. Written by Ryan Wynn. Art by Dean Coates. Colors by Ryan Wynn. That's a different thing. Letters by Wes Locher. Published by Alterna, this is Gods of Gears.
Well, you know, since we're on the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and Martin is a friend of Ryan Wynn.
Yes.
And every podcast on the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network is sponsored by this book. Why don't we just jump into it?
It was a cool looking book. I agree with you.
Yeah, and this is issue one of four of a limited series, I believe.
I did not know it was limited.
Yes. So let me start off with this book. In the beginning, I couldn't help to think that the race kind of was inspired by Hot Wheels. Remember those tracks where the car's going up and around the loops and it kind of does the jump? I had that total feeling of it. And so with me being a father of three boys, I really dug that idea. Especially dug that that Jimmy was in it, and he fell out of the car and jumped through a portal and found himself in 1890 in South America. I thought that was very interesting. So I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. I never thought of that. I was like, maybe I should play with the Hot Wheels track some more. But yeah, I like this book was really cool. I mean, you get some magic, you get some potions, you can climb trees a little better with it, and you get some gangster-ass gorillas named the Thunder Bros. I was totally in with this book. I'm glad that Martin kind of suggested it to us. He put us on this book, and I was excited to read this book. How did you feel about it, Andrew?
Yeah, the Thunder Bros. Doesn't that sound like they should be signed by AEW? We should put them in the tag team division.
Well, it kind of sounds like an old school, like WWE or WWF tag team. Like, remember Earthquake and Tugboat?
Yeah.
Like, they would be fighting the Thunder Bros.
There you go. The Thunder Bros. Pretty cool. I liked it a lot. It's funny you said, like, yeah, Hot Wheels. I thought Speed Racer a lot. Even the way that the race car drivers were dressed reminded me of Speed Racer. And then all of a sudden he goes through the portal and they're in a new land. And that's, you know, the bulk of the adventure takes place in the new land. And it's South America. You have a jungle. They're running away. We don't know why, to go see his grandfather, to learn about something. But it was very all ages. It does say it's an all ages book, and it seemed very light, very easy, fun. The jokes were fun. Talking animals are always a hit. One of the things I really liked is the coloring. And I'm going to hit it because the writer is a colorist. And I only know one other time that happened, where Christina Strain, who was the colorist on Runaways, wrote an X-Men series afterwards. She kind of went back and became a writer. But anyway, I loved the different colors in the different parts. The first part, when they're in the city and they're doing the races, the colors are orange and kind of modern and kind of really city. And then you hit the jungle and it's all bright and colorful and different, until the end of the jungle part where it's rainy and dark. And I just liked the moods that the colors gave me in this comic. That's what stood out most to me. A lot of comics don't always give you that, especially all ages comic. So I really liked that. Yeah. The art was fun.
Yeah, that was cool. Like, you just made that point. I kept thinking of, like, The Wizard of Oz when it was black and white in the beginning, and then boom.
Yeah.
It's color, bright and stuff. And
yeah, after he goes to the portal. Uh-huh.
Right. And this is actually, I think Martin said, that Ryan Wynn's first ever writing gig.
Oh, wow.
If I remember correctly, I'm sure Martin, when he listens to this, or Ryan, when he listens to this, he'll correct us. Didn't he color for Top Cow?
I think that's what Martin said. Yes, he colored on Darkness and probably other things that we probably should have done a little more research and looked into. But
yes, yeah. We're not professional.
We're not. We're very unprofessional.
We're jobbers.
We watch wrestling. That says it all. Yeah. But yeah, I really like the book. I suggest picking it up. It's fun. There is a little story at the end, one tiny little piece that I didn't mention, that I don't know what the hell's going on. There's a woman and she becomes some kind of, like, I don't know, like,
yeah, I was gonna ask you about that. I was like, where I wrote it down, like, where do you think this is going next? I guess we'll find out in issue two.
I have no idea about that part. That one was a head scratcher for me. I assume it'll be explained in the future, but it was a head scratcher for me. Yeah. That part I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm just interested where it's going to go because, I mean, maybe they're going to find another portal. I don't know.
And it seems like a big story. I can't believe it's going to be done in four. But then the publisher that we're dealing with do tend to do small runs. They do. And I guess if it's popular, then he'll maybe be able to pitch another four issues or something.
So go spend that $1.50 and pick up this book.
Yeah.
It's not hurting the bank. Buy two. Hell, buy three.
Yep, there you go. All right, let's move on to the next one. Our next book of the day is Relics of Youth Number 1. Nat Rodriguez keeps dreaming of an island. Soon the dreams become waking visions. Alone and concerned, Nat manages to locate other teenagers across the globe who share her intense obsession with the unmapped enclave. And then the strangest part, every one of them wakes up one morning with a mysterious tattoo, a tattoo only the six of them can see. Now each of them know, no matter what the obstacle in their way, they must discover this unknown paradise. Written by Matt Nicholas and Chad Redman. Art by Skylar Partridge. Excuse me. Colors by Vladimir Popov. Letters by And World Design. Published by Vault. Relic of Youth.
This book, I really fell in love with the characters, the kids, especially Nat Rodriguez, because, you know, finding out, like, reading into it that her mother had passed away, something happened, she began seeing visions of an island, and then she sought out other kids that also had the same phenomenon as her with the island, the experience, and each of them had the tattoo of the triangle. I wish I could have had, like, more of a, you know, this whole issue, like, dedicated to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it still was done well enough that, you know, that I still enjoyed it, because, you know, the kids all meet up. They meet at, like, the trust fund kid, the rich kid, whatever you may call him. I think his name was Garrett. They met at his parents' vacation home, and then it went from there to, like, it went from there to them finding out that their tattoos were leading them to the Bermuda Triangle. So, like, then they got on his yacht and things like that. And, I mean, this is definitely, like, I was really interested in, or I am really interested in this book. How do you feel about it, Andrew?
I'm mixed. There's some things I like about it. I still want more. I felt like some of the characters weren't developed very well, but we'll see them. You know, it's obviously the first book.
Right.
So I need to chill out. But a lot happened. You know, they went from, she found them all. Next thing you know, they're on a yacht. And the yacht's going in a storm. I was like, can't the captain overrule this crazy stuff? Like, you're going to smash your yacht. And then they're on the Bermuda Triangle in this island. It reminded me of an Aftershock book we've done before that we liked called Lost City Explorers. They were on their way to Atlantis. This one, they're on the way to the Bermuda Triangle. But there's a group of kids. The leader was also a female character who was kind of headstrong. No matter what anyone would tell her, she kept forging forward, and creating problems for everybody. And that's kind of how Nat comes across to me. Very much like, and I can't remember the character's name from Lost City Explorers. But that's what it reminded me of a lot when I read this book.
Yeah, I could totally see that, because even that book kind of moved along quickly as well. So I did like the... I want to know more about the kids, because in the beginning, when you're getting like, who's it, Derek, the cancer patient, you're getting kind of his story. You're getting Mia, the former child star story. Tristan, the young girl that plays the piano and things like that. I just wanted more of that. But I trust I trust the process. I'm definitely, you know, going to keep reading this book. Because it seems like a totally exciting mystery, especially like after what you find out happens on the yacht.
Yeah.
I didn't quite see that coming, but.
I didn't see that part coming either. I for a minute there, which I am glad that happened, I was starting to think that the only thing I like is, wow, this yacht has no people on it but them. I go, who's running the yacht and making the food and everything? I was worried there might not even be a crew. So at least they acknowledge that a little later in the story.
Right.
There actually was a crew.
Right, because you get the feeling they're taking selfies. They're, you know, drinking pop. They're swimming and stuff. Like, it's spring break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who leaves their phone? Okay, that's a plot.
No, nobody leaves their phone.
No, especially a girl. And we're going to assume that that's...
Right, because, you know, people take their phones to their bathroom.
Yeah.
I think, like, I feel there's a reason why it's called cell phone. You're a prisoner to that thing.
Yeah, exactly. So there's no way she leaves that phone, especially going onto a scary island. She's taking that phone with her.
Right.
But definitely check it out. The covers are amazing. I got two covers. That's where they got me. Is
did you got the Deadly Class one? Didn't
yeah,
you?
Of course I got the Deadly Class one. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I would get that.
And I mean, you know, if you ever listened to us before, I definitely, you know, Vault has been killing it. Every book that they put out has been pretty damn good. I've never been disappointed with them. Honestly, everything that they put out is on my pull list, and I highly suggest that, you know, if you're listening and you're looking for a trusted publisher, this is one.
Yeah, that week, I'm going to give you an example. Here are some books we left on the chopping block that we didn't do. We didn't do The Mall.
Right.
We didn't do Resonant.
Right.
We didn't do
Sarah and the Royal Stars.
Sarah and the Royal Stars, and then Bad. What's Bad? Queen, is that it?
Oh, Queen of Bad Dreams.
Queen of Bad Dreams, excuse me. We left those all, and there can be an argument made that we should have done one of those very easily. But instead, we went a different direction, and we're going to tell you where we went. We went with the plot number one. In order to receive, first you must give. When Chase Blaine's estranged brother and sister-in-law are murdered, he becomes guardian to Mackenzie and Zach. The niece and nephew he hardly knows. Seeking stability for the children, Chase moves his newly formed family to his ancestral home in Cape Augusta, which overlooks a deep black bog land teeming with family secrets. Written by Tim Daniels and Michael Morenci. Art and cover by Joshua Hickson. Colors by Jordan Boyd. Letters by Jim Campbell. Published by Vault. The plot.
Okay, straight up, if you haven't picked up this book, you need to, because this book is money, especially if you're a horror fan. I want to start off by saying, you know, I am so glad to see Joshua Hickson drawing a horror book. If you've ever read Shanghai Red, you've seen his art. This art is perfect for this book. And by perfect, I mean this book is a perfect 10. The Sean Spears of comic books.
The Sean Spears of comic books. I saw what you did there.
You see what I did there? AEW. I'm really interested in this book because you have there's a lot of things going on in this book. The father that started this whole thing was a pharmaceutical guy. So I think that's where the monster comes from. Something bad happened there. There's this thing that keeps being said in here. In order to receive, you must give. What the fuck does that mean?
That's some creepy, like, religious undertone crap, right. Scary shit.
Because that, the way I hear it, that's ass backwards. But anyways, I mean, that's just telling you where this book is going. So I want to know more about, in order to receive, you first must give. Like, Charles Blaine is the character that we meet in the beginning. And I wish we got more of him. But he gets whacked by the monster. And his brother that happens to be like, he seems to be a mess up. I don't know. Because in the beginning of the book, it mentions like mental illness and things like that. So I'm not sure if he deals with mental illness. So I will not go there. But I mean, he's in charge of Charles and his wife's two kids. And like Andrew mentioned in the solicit, they moved back to their ancestor home in Augusta. Where does it say something? Augusta?
Yeah, Augusta. Cape Augusta.
Yeah, and that home is very creepy if you look at the art. There's a lot of crazy stuff happened there, but I'm interested in how you feel about this book, Andrew.
Yeah, that scary mansion. Very lock and key. Didn't it remind you? I mean, it's not lock and key story-wise, but that's the plot, lock and key. They moved the kids back to the ancestral home, if I recall, right? The parents are killed or the parents die. The dad commits suicide or something, and then the mom moves the children to move in with the uncle or something like that. And
I believe so. It's been a long time since I read that book.
But that's what I thought of instantly. It's like, okay, that's that plot. We're taking the kids to a scary place to live.
Right. I was going to say, I can definitely see it with the art of the drawing of the building that they live in. That definitely looks very lock and key for sure.
Yeah. So, but then the story's not lock and key, so don't misunderstand any of that. But I just thought that was... You know, I see. Okay, I see where we're going. And then it didn't mess around. This book got right into it. Like, I was like, wait a minute. What's happening to that little girl? Wait a minute. What just happened to that little boy? I was like, whoa, we're doing this in issue one, are we? We're not even going to, like, say that something bad's coming. We're going to straight up introduce these monsters, and they're going to do stuff right here and right now. This book is really frightening. The mental illness angle is scary because... You don't know if it's mental or they were not ill and it's something supernatural. You know what I mean? So it has me guessing. So I'm a little creeped out by it.
Right. I'm wondering if the pharmaceutical stuff is causing this too.
You think so?
I don't know. I mean, if I knew, then I probably wouldn't be reading it.
Yeah. And the murder of... the father and mother. Oh, that was a pretty brutal murder.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm picturing the panels right now of like the violence and the heads just hitting the ground. And I remember is it Charles says something to his wife and I'm like, dude, she's fucking done.
Yeah, she's gone.
Yeah.
And you're right. I did not put the connection together with, the Cibola book.
Shanghai Red.
Shanghai Red. And when you said that, it like all hit me. Like, holy crap. Yes, this is Shanghai Red. The darks and the dark color palette. And
it's absolutely creepy. Perfect for this.
Yeah. This is a hit. This is a really good one. You're not, you know, it is a 10. I'm sorry. Right,
yeah.
You know,
if I were going to score. It's a perfect 10. We scored it at perfect 10.
So it lived up to the hype. We've been hearing about Plot for, oh God, for the past 2 months probably. I mean, they've really pushed it. And you're thinking, oh man, here we go again with these pushing these books. Right. That's twice, man. That's twice that they've pushed two books really hard, and they have legitimately delivered.
Right.
Get into this book. I recommend it. It's going to probably be the number one title on Vault. And that's saying a lot, because there's some great books.
It'll be close, but Resonant is still my shit.
There's yours? Yeah. Yeah, Resonant is damn good, too.
Yeah.
And I haven't forgot about Wasted Space, you know. It's out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, he wrote that book, too, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, Vault. There's no lies. We do like a lot of publishers. We talked about Boom last week, but Vault is at another level. Mm-hmm. So, we lost, you know... Was it Behringer and Berger? Not Behringer.
No,
Berger.
Black Crown.
Yeah, okay, Black Crown.
Black Crown Vertigo. And Vertigo.
But Vault and Aftershock are filling the void. There's no doubt about it.
So. Yeah, I would definitely add everything from them. But Vault and Aftershock, those are my two go-tos.
Yeah. Well, those are our three comics for this week, but we wanted to highlight a Kickstarter that we got a chance to read. It's a little different because it's... Okay, the Kickstarter is for one book, but it was our introduction to an entire universe, series, however you want to call it. So we got to read a lot of books. So, Fred, what did you think of The Resistance?
Okay, The Resistance, we got a lot of PDFs. And when I started reading them, all I could remember is being a 7-year-old boy growing up in, like, say, the, you know, 80s, almost 90s, waking up on Saturday morning and turning on the TV to watch your favorite cartoons. It definitely felt like these books brought me the feeling of, like, a Transformers or even, I would even say, like, something like the X-Men vibe. You know, like that 90s X-Men. And the reason why I say it is, like, you know, they deal against, like, anti-corporation, anti-greed things. But a lot of, like, the characters in it is really cool. Like, there's this one character. I don't believe he's in the actual the Kickstarter book, but you can probably get in one of the tiers, and his name's Adam. And he kind of reminded me of, like, a badass, like, Thundercat in a way. Like, I'm not sure if he's even a cat. But he reminded me of it because of the blues and stuff. And he also reminded me of, like, wrestling. Because I think his bio said, like, he was... Oh, I can't remember now because I lost my notes. But he was, like... I think he's, like, 4'3" or 5' something and, like, 465 pounds or something like that. It says in the back of that issue. Either way, he reminded me of Otis from Heavy Machinery. Because, you know, he's that heavy, but he's a little dude, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I got from it. I definitely dig the books. I like the world or universe, whichever you may have you use to describe this. But this is definitely something that I would look into and pick up. And I actually, after I read the first 4 books, I went out and backed it myself. So that's, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. So
nice. Very cool. Yeah, I binged it. I just didn't have a lot of time at work schedule, so I binged this in a day. I read them all. And so they're a little muddled in my head. And as I went on, it just got better and better for me. It got deeper. I started to know the characters a little more because there's a lot of characters. He introduces, like, one of his influences, he says G.I. Joe, and I can see that because there's all these characters that have all these special skills that are part of a team on both the good and the bad side. So, you know, you have your characters with their special skills and they meet up and they have fights. And it's very PG-13 fights. You know, no heads are getting cut off and nobody's dying. It's just good action. So also X-Men style. And my favorite character was the female character. I believe her name is, not Kestrel. Kestrel's not the one I'm looking for. Interval. And she has, like, this teleportation thing. It's a very, very lesser version of what Nightcrawler does. I mean, she can, like, basically bamf to somewhere else. And she can, like, get people out of a situation. Or she can get behind somebody to pull a gun on them. It's not as fast and as effective as, say, Nightcrawler, but it's a similar skill. And I really liked her. She's the leader of their group. And if you deck this Kickstarter, one of the packages is a bundle that gives you all the comics. And I recommend it highly because it's not just the three comics of the main series. There's these one-shots that take some of the characters and gives you a story and a bit of origin. And it's actually more than one of the characters. Sometimes it involves a villain and a hero in these stories. So you get a little more understanding of, okay, I see why these two don't like each other. And it just builds that universe. And I really like that a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely a book that, you know, reading them, I think that in the hyper action book, the double feature flip book that's available on the Kickstarter, the main mm-hmm. book. One of the characters, I think her name is it Palencia? How do you say it?
I think it's Palencia.
Yeah.
And she's a bounty hunter, merc.
Yeah, she's a badass, let me tell you. And it's definitely a book that, like, after I started reading her in these books, I was happy to back this. And I think, like, you know, I definitely suggest, like, you know, if you're into, like, Saturday morning cartoon type of feel and things like that, and it's not all cartoonishy, so don't take mm-hmm. it that way. But that's the feeling I get, and that's the joy, like, to read this. It made me feel like a kid again, and mm-hmm. it deals with modern day real world stuff that's happening right now. So, you know, with the corruption yeah. and greed. So I'm like, dude, this is my stuff right here. And exactly. yeah.
So, and it took a bit for it to grow on me, because the first one, I didn't understand all the corruption. And I kind of respect that they didn't hit me up front with a bunch of, with a lot of exposition, like trying to explain, okay, this is the whole world. This is why they're here. They're aliens. They just a whole bunch of exposition. It's revealing it to me naturally through the story.
Right.
So by the time I'm hitting issue two, I'm like, okay, I get it. I get more. Oh, I get more. Uh-huh. And I'm really liking it. It's very easy to read. The art's outstanding. So you have two artists. You have Jason Johnson on the Resistance, and then on the Hyperaction books, you have Ben Herrera. And both of them are doing amazing work. I really like the colors. I like the art. The characters are interesting. They're exciting. The male, the female, the alien, different looks.
Right. And another good feature, because you're new to the universe or world, whatever you may call it, you get a bio of, like, characters in the back, so you get to know, like, all their strengths and their weaknesses and things like that. And that's really interesting that they took the time to put that in the book, you know. So they're building something big here, and it's definitely something to look into. It's definitely something that, if you're into Kickstarters like both of us are, that you back something like this. I mean, because you're funding a world. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Kyle Kaminsky could be, like, the next big thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a big thing, and I hope we did it justice. Like I said, we got it kind of at the end of the week, and, you know, there was a lot to read. And,
yeah.
But this deserves a reread to properly really suss out this universe, and it's big things, guys. I would jump
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
And if you have the coin, get the bundle.
Hell yeah.
I think you'll be happily surprised. I think you get 6 books for, like, $25 or something like that.
Right.
That's the tier that gets you all of them?
Yeah, I believe so. Let me just tell, like, Hyperaction, the actual book is a double feature book, flip book, that features bounty hunters and criminals from the world of the Resistance. Each issue has two one-and-done stories with two artists and two covers. You can get this book. You just type in all caps, hyperaction.com. Also, I believe... I'm not sure. Is his publisher Big Blue Comics?
Yes, Big okay. Blue Comics.
So you can even go to bigbluecomics.com. You can hit at KJ Kaminsky 11. Follow the mm-hmm. writer right there. There's 20 days currently left to go on this book. Right now it's about $250 away from being fully funded. So, you know, if you do Kickstarters like us, you usually get some free stuff after it's funded, because they want to make those goals go up. So, you know, just because you hear that it's that close, you feel like you don't need to give something. You actually get more when you give something. So,
yeah. And knowing that it's that close, you're sure you're going to get this book.
Right.
Because sometimes Kickstarters don't make it. Yeah. You know that this is going to be a book you're going to get, because they're probably going to hit their goal, so you can count on this book showing up. Yeah, here's this bundle I'm looking at. It's called the Resistance Bundle. All seven of our standard cover, the Resistance issues. You get Resistance 0, 1, 2, and 3, plus Hyperaction 1 and 2, and the Kessel one-shot, number 1. Or Kestrel, excuse me. Kestrel is a character who's part of the Resistance. And that one-shot was my favorite because I didn't understand her motivation. I read that one shot, and she became one of my favorite characters.
Yeah,
really cool.
Yes. So thank you, Stacy.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, let's just plug her real quick. At Geeky... Oh, shit. I didn't bring that prepared. Just type in Geeky Goddess. We'll link her to this.
All right. Remember, we're just wrestling fans.
Right. Jobbers.
All right. On that note, let's wrestle, nerds. All right. We're ready to talk wrestling this week. What a week. I am still on cloud nine. Did you guys watch both shows on Wednesday night? Did you get into the wars?
Yes.
Yes, we did. We watched one on Wednesday night and one Thursday.
You watched both Thursday because you were at a hockey game. I watched both.
I watched the replay of AEW on Wednesday night when you were in bed, little boy.
Okay. I watched it live. You didn't.
I watched it too. All right, well, we're going to hold that off for later in the show because otherwise it'll take over the show because we know that's the best thing that happened. And we're going to run the ropes and we're going to go around the wrestling world and talk about some of the other great things that may have happened, though it was a little quiet week. Nobody wanted to go against AEW. But Impact Wrestling, did you anyone see Impact Wrestling this week?
I did. And the one thing I take away from Impact Wrestling this week is Tessa Blanchard defeated Dave Crist, which earned her a spot in the ladder match for the X Division Championship at Bound for Glory. So right now, currently, Jake Crist, herself, and we're waiting for three other competitors to be named.
Nice. I saw a highlight of her getting chokeslammed into the mat pretty hard.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. Multiple times.
Yeah, so she took some bumps, man.
Yeah. Maybe she wins the X Division title.
Wow, that'd be ballsy. So are we just to assume now that she's not going to be part of the women's division? She's... something different. She's just going to wrestle men.
If she does, shouldn't she have all the titles?
You would think so, but Taya gets all the push. I mean, Taya just beat her in that big AAA thing.
Yeah.
So Taya is over her in that sense in women's wrestling, but in intergender wrestling and with the males, Tessa's taking care of business.
She can wrestle these huge men and beat them. She can't beat Taya Valkyrie.
Yeah, don't look for loopholes. It's because Taya Valkyrie's sneaky. Okay, we got to give that Taya sneakier than these guys are. So, but yeah, I can't believe that she's top. All right, next one, MLW.
Okay, for MLW, MLW signed Zeta Zhang. Is that how you say it? Zeta Zhang? The H?
Zhang.
Zhang. To their women's division, which they don't have until now. Which she's formerly from NXT. I think that's a big deal, but is she the only women's wrestler they have?
They signed another one this week, but I don't remember the name and I had never heard of her. That doesn't mean anything because the women sometimes are wrestling places that I don't get a chance to see. She could be from the UK and I just don't know her because they have their own thing. So they have two. As far as I know, they have two. So they're building it slowly.
Yeah. And then the Mance Warner, what's his name? What's the other guy's name? Jimmy Havoc, Bunkhouse Brawl match, which I thought was crazy.
Yeah.
What's with him and stapling his tongue?
I don't know. He must have decided he can handle the pain. I don't know.
That's got to be a lot more painful than getting stapled on a...
Well, I mean, some people have foot fetishes. Other people like their tongue stapled. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, to pumpkins. I mean,
yeah, and wood.
He could be doing other things to those pumpkins, but you never know. I mean... Let's leave that alone.
Okay.
Oh, man.
And then It was just crazy. Mance Warner was getting beat up. And then after the match, Havoc, he took the barbed wire and put it inside of his mouth and pulled back on it. And it was like a submission, but with the barbed wire. What was that called? The camel clutch? And it's like a fish hook with it, too, but with barbed wire.
So he fish hooked him with barbed wire.
Yeah. That was brutal. I got to admit, that I got squeamish
watching that barbed wire stuff. Yeah. That's how they want to say goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty squeamish.
Maybe he had a few light beers before that.
So you think Mance Warner's leaving? Is that what you're suggesting?
Havoc, right?
Oh, yeah. We still haven't got confirmation that Havoc and MJF are gone. Like nobody has said that. Like we've seen these goodbye tours that like Janella and all these other people have done all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. But I've yet to hear like that MJF and Havoc are done in MLW. So maybe there's a working relationship. Like maybe it said, okay, you guys can use Shivani, but you need to let us use these wrestlers once in a while.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not making this shit up. I haven't read anything about that, but it makes you wonder because we haven't heard that they're gone.
Okay. But like, don't be surprised if they show back up and don't be surprised if they're gone.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I look at it.
Because it is taped, so you might see them again if they're not allowed to come back either.
Yep. When we get to MLW, I heard a great interview with Tony Khan, 2.5-hour interview, and he was pretty open about everything. And some of these guys are going to have permission to do things. And it's very each person, it's depends on the person and what it is they're going to do and who they're going to do it with and how they're going to make the company look by what they do. So maybe these MJF and Havoc are given a green light to do something. Just another thing to throw out there, possibility. All right, the next one is ROH. The episode was horrible. After I told you how great it was last week, they went back to the old ways. I mean, this was an old taped episode that didn't acknowledge that Rush is the champion. It didn't acknowledge that Bandido's hurt, so he can't even wrestle in the next pay-per-view. It didn't acknowledge anything. You know, Taven was still the champion. They hadn't faced the Briscoes yet. It just was like, what am I watching? So I gave up. More than halfway through, I just turned it off. It did nothing for me. But as you know, ROH signed Taven. That's big news. He did stay. The rumor is the money is more than he would have got in NXT. So, makes sense. Maybe he gets it back from Rush. And then Rush... It's kind of CMLL news, but Rush and Dragon Lee got shit canned from CMLL. So do they get signed full time to ROH? I mean, they got the belt on the guy. So.
I mean, what happened? What happened to them?
Politics. I guess those guys are not. Rush in particular is not a very likable person.
Okay.
I guess he doesn't do as he's told a lot.
So he's the character that he plays in the ring?
Yeah. There's a lot of him.
They could go full-time Japan because Rush is a part of Naito's group.
Yeah, that would make sense, especially for Dragon Lee to go back there.
Yeah, but then they could also go AAA or anywhere else.
True. I don't know. Would AAA take him if he's a problem? I don't know.
I don't know.
Hard to say. But he can't use... They might not be able to use the name anymore. Yeah. And in this episode, I noticed they're calling Rush El Toro Blanco, the White Bull. So that might be his new thing.
That seems like a too long of a name but I mean, it makes sense.
Because doesn't he wear bulls on his
gear? Yeah, he has a bull on the back and it's like half white, half black or something like that.
All right. And I assume there's nothing going on in AAA because I didn't see anything.
They just keep putting up the Triple Mania, cutting it down.
What about New Japan? Also a slow week, Fred. Did you see anything happen there?
The only thing I have from New Japan is that they came to the Hammerstein Ballroom here in the U.S. And it was the Rock and Roll Express's New Japan debut.
Oh, nice and spry and young. How are they doing?
I think they're like 60 plus. Still rocking the same
thing. Same thing, though.
They got that Joe Dirt haircut still. So, you know.
Hey, they're working hard. I saw they just did a taping for NWA too, man. Rock and Roll Express is everywhere.
Yeah, so as long as they're not doing their sister, I guess that's all that matters, right?
Oh my God.
Well, I'm just, that's a Joe Dirt reference. I'm not.
I know, but I was not.
Joe Dirt can do whatever he wants.
Oh my God. I was not ready for that one. Okay. Yeah, that sounds more like WWE booking.
What, doing your sister?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, there was some...
I've seen some weird stuff on there.
There's been some angles. Anyway, yeah, that was it for the regular wrestling. But now let's get into the war. The war was outstanding. You guys watched AEW. You guys watched NXT. The ratings are in. Who do you think won? Not ratings, but just what show did you enjoy the most?
AEW, obviously. NXT was like slower, but they tried, but they couldn't do it.
They tried, but they couldn't do it.
I think, like, to enjoy wrestling, if the fans are into it and just going crazy, I think the fans at AEW were so much more into it and they were enjoying themselves. It was loud. It wasn't a studio audience, you know. It was actually 14,000 people.
Didn't you say that NXT, it's the same place every time, so I'm pretty sure they get tired of it.
But I did enjoy AEW more, but I could be swayed because I want them to do well. And I thought they did perform well. You know, it was a good first show, and that they're setting up things for the next week's going to be pretty good too, I think.
I agree. I watched AEW live, watched NXT right after it.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, despite some of the smallness, that first match on NXT, the Cole Riddle match, over-exceeded what I expected. They went balls to wall. It was awesome. The surprise appearance at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, I like a little kid, I jumped out of my seat. I popped so hard to see Balor. I really did. I love Balor. And how do you take on the Elite? You bring someone from Bullet Club.
Bring their leader.
Because, there's, in my opinion, Bullet Club rules the world right now. Bullet Club people are all over the place and they're doing big things. Wherever they're at, they're doing big things. I think that faction really set the stage for what wrestling is right now. And I'm excited to see Balor down there. I don't see it as a demotion. I think he's going down there to clean some shit up, and I'm going to have a good time with it.
So do you think that they put him in NXT because Cody was the last leader up until Jay White? So, the original leader, then the...
Yeah.
We had the original.
I think there's a lot of things. Okay, AJ never was in NXT. So there's no connection to the fans.
Right.
Balor's loved down there. He was a popular champion when he was the NXT champion. He had some great feuds with Samoa Joe and other people down there. I just think he's the perfect fit, and his style fits the NXT style. I mean, I want to see him against Riddle. I want to see him against Cole. I want to see him against Dream. I want to see him against all those guys. I can't wait. I want to see him against Gargano and Ciampa. Come on. I mean...
Yeah, I think they put him down there because, AEW is indie wrestling, basically. They're all indie names. So what does WWE do? They're probably going to bring Daniel Bryan. They're going to bring Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, all those dudes that were indie darlings, and put them on that show to try to compete with AEW because they'll think that they can pull fans away. But most fans, like myself, once you go to, Raw, it's almost like you sold out. So I'm still going to – I want to see a product that competes. Nothing against WWE, but I really truly believe that the people behind AEW are the right people to compete with them. And, Vince held back for months, and now he wants to give products? Normally he sits all these dudes on the bench and jobs them out, but now he wants to put them out there like he has competition. So is he doing the fan base right? Hell no.
No, I
agree.
So he's putting all the talented wrestlers in NXT and dries out their two biggest shows.
No, because they won't, because SmackDown gets tons of money. That's going to be their biggest show.
Because SmackDown and Raw, to me, have become something completely different that I just don't watch and enjoy.
Okay,
SmackDown and Raw is where you go to watch Roman Reigns and, you know,
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, all that stuff. Becky Lynch. Nothing against those wrestlers, but the style and the way they're doing things up there, Kofi Kingston, all that, that's not what I'm into.
No, those are your 2 to 5 minute matches.
Yeah, and skits and stories and nonsense. Yeah. Okay. It's not for me. So if you want to bring the wrestlers down and let them wrestle, I'm kind of okay with that. I'm kind of okay to see Owens get into Dream's face and tell him he's an idiot. You know, I'm okay with Sami Zayn coming down there and cracking jokes. That they need some comedy down there bad right now. They've lost some of the comedy. I'd like to see a tag team go down there too, because the tag team division's kind of... So I'm all for that. But one thing I noticed watching NXT is they didn't build any stories for NXT. NXT was just, let's throw out our best matchups we can throw out to show you how good we are.
That's good shit.
And then have all the heavyweights go for Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, but let's have Finn Balor come out to Cole. Oh, no. At the end, let's have Ciampa too. What the fuck? What? So is that a triple threat match?
Yeah. It was too much. It was just to make pops. And it didn't build a story. Now let's go to AEW and their big surprise, Mr. Jack Swagger. I'm not a Jack Swagger fan.
Jake Hager.
Jake Hager.
Yeah, I know. I can't call him that. But I'll never be able to not say that. I'm just used to it. Before I give my opinion, what did you guys think of that? And what do you guys think of him?
I mean, he's good, but I don't really like him, but I was excited to see him.
I say keep the microphone out of his hand. You use him as an enforcer like Arn Anderson for Chris Jericho. Then you got money.
And We the People.
No, we don't need We the People.
Yeah.
That's what, the crowd was chanting it all the time.
Yeah, but that's because they're like mocking him.
I know.
We don't
I'm
need
with
that.
You, Fred. Huh? I think you're completely 100% right. I thought Diesel Shawn Michaels. You got this big guy. He's Jericho's protector. Jericho's the Shawn Michaels type guy. He's a little smaller, cocky, a big mouth. He has his big heavy.
Uh-huh.
You know, which was Kevin Nash, and now it's Swagger, because he looked big.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta admit, he looked huge in that ring.
And he's a certified badass. Like, I don't think he's lost that MMA fight. He's not CM Punk.
So, is it the Elite versus Jericho's group? Does Jericho gonna start a group?
Yeah, I think it's cool.
That the Elite came out, so Mox was against Kenny, Jericho was with Cody, and Swagger went after Dustin, and the Bucks, and all of them came out, and all, it's...
Yeah.
That was like old school WCW at the end. It's total chaos, like the Outsiders just crashed the ring, and that's how you build the story for the next week.
Right, that's what you said.
Yeah, that's me as a kid. Yeah. Okay, big old scrum, everyone's in the ring, big old brawl. People laid out, and Tony Schiavone saying goodnight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, whoa. Yeah.
You're like, no, come on. Give us 10 more minutes.
Yeah, we're back. I just got back to, the my past, to my childhood.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I like it. You know, we know a lot of these guys like New Japan. New Japan is a faction place. So they're bringing that style of factions. So I think it's going to be really cool. I don't know if Omega gets involved in it. I think Omega Mox is something completely separate.
Is that why they weren't in the ring?
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's going to be about building them two up for a big match.
And that's the way for AEW to say WWE will not do this stuff, because WWE will not do hardcore stuff.
Yep.
So I'm interested to find out, you know, when they saw Moxley put him through the table. The glass table that, you know, are they like, oh, now we got to bring back the hardcore division?
Yeah.
Where's the guys that are being used in Impact? We need the ECW guys.
Yeah, it's very possible, because they did. And they weren't scared. I mean, Schiavone dropped a couple of bad words.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely 14.
Jim Ross kept saying it's TV-14, so whatever.
The good thing is, I noticed watching it that Tony Schiavone was not the Tony Schiavone from MLW. This was the Tony Schiavone from my childhood that was like, he was sitting next to his good buddy Jim, and they were just talking wrestling, they were calling.
Yeah, they used to be against each other.
And it was good.
It was a war between Shivani's company and Ross's company, and mm-hmm. now they're teaming up for AEW.
So. But they were together before that, though.
They were?
Yeah.
Yep. That's, and Crockett.
You're showing your age. Stuff.
Show me age. And they've worked here because they're both Southern guys. Yeah, and I think he brought Ross, the greatness out of Ross that we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
I think Ross was chill. Ross is making jokes about vloggers and, you know, Ross was just laid back having a good time.
Because he understood him.
Yeah. What did Excalibur do? Did he kind of like...
He called the match.
Oh.
Excalibur's there because you need somebody that understands the new wrestler. Excalibur knows the names of all these moves. He knows the history of all these independent wrestlers.
And he's wrestled them.
Oh, even better. Yeah. So you need him. He brings an authenticity because JR and Shivani have not really seen the Bucks. Let's be honest. You know, they're probably watching video and learning about them and meeting them. But the person who's actually seen these guys fight is Excalibur. And so you need him there, I think.
Plus you need somebody that, like, you know, that for a younger generation to connect with, like, Andrew and I could connect with Jim or Tony, mm-hmm. but like for you, you could connect with the guy wearing the mask.
Yeah. Now, bringing it up, I still think Morello is outstanding. I can watch anything that guy calls. So NXT is doing well.
Oh, Mauro Ranallo.
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said Santino Morello.
Yeah. It's my gimmick, man.
I was thinking Impact.
It's like all Italians look alike.
But he brings something special to NXT.
He's loud. You just pay attention when he says
No,
something.
He's exciting. I'll give you, he's probably the best in the business, I think.
Yeah.
When he gives the Mamma Mia and stuff, I'm like... Oh, and then, like, his pop culture references and stuff are, like, you know, he pulls them out. Like, he's naming songs from hit, you know, artists off Spotify and stuff that's on, like, the Rap Caviar part. Uh-huh. And he's showing, like, he's definitely got street cred.
Yeah, he blows me away. He's funny. He corrected Beth Phoenix. I don't know what she said. And he like, nope. I think she was saying about how many times O'Reilly and Fish had been tag team champions. Uh-huh. And he corrected her to basically say that, no, O'Reilly wasn't part of that. It was, you know, when Fish won it last time, O'Reilly wasn't his partner. So, you know, really totally like laid it all out, the whole history, like in you know, a few seconds. And they go, oh, okay. They got corrected by him.
He said, you're new. I've been here for a while. Here's what happened.
Yeah, here's the way it goes. But yeah, I think NXT is going to be okay going against the legends because of that. Now, the main show, interesting because I'm not really fond of a lot of announcers up there. So it'll make a big difference. You know, one another thing that hurt NXT, I feel, and I'm going to bring it up. What did you guys think of the commercials? The way they handled the commercials? Because we have been watching AEW and NXT for a long time now. I mean, even though AEW hasn't been around, but everything we've seen of them, commercial-free.
Yeah.
So there's two shows that we've been watching commercial-free. And to be honest, we watch a lot of things commercial-free. We watch New Japan commercial-free. We watch MLW commercial. We watch everything, you know, pretty much.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, commercials. What'd you guys think of that?
For AEW, I thought it was a lot because but then I had to think about it. I was like, so they've done one or two free shows. They need to get some money real quick.
I think that's where WWE could show that they could run something out of the bottom of the screen and Mauro Ranallo could read something because they got that Vince McMahon money. Mm-hmm. And then Tony Khan only has, you know, a certain amount of money. So they had to run the commercials because they've done so many shows for free.
Yeah.
That they had to, like, you know, do the split screen. But for me, I mean, I understood it. And you could still follow along with it. So I was okay with it.
I felt like AEW booked it like a show that had commercials. And I felt like NXT booked it like they always book it. And a lot of really exciting stuff because they kept that split screen on, which would come and go in my channel.
Yeah, same.
Sometimes it depends on the commercials. Sometimes it'd be there, sometimes it wasn't. But they booked it like there was no commercials. I saw some pretty cool spots and some crazy stuff. And it's very distracting trying to watch it that way. Go down near falls and everything. Go down in commercials. And I'm thinking, wow, is NXT going to have to change the way they do things? Or are they just going to stick to who they are? And it's like, if something exciting happens during the commercial, oh, well for you.
Yeah.
They kind of did the same thing, though, with the split screen sometimes.
Well, they're all
going to... That's distracting. I can't watch it.
I know. It's like the small... What you're trying to pay attention to is in the corner, and you have... But there's like a big commercial about like a pill or some family eating like their lunch.
Yep.
Family eating their lunch.
I don't know, like some food commercials or some medicine commercials while you're trying to watch. You're right.
There's
NXT.
A lot of medicine commercials.
Like a Valtrex commercial.
So I think everything has to kind of. That's the one thing they both have to adjust. I think AEW did better, but I think AEW. Or it is a reason to buy the network, I got to admit, because the product is probably better on the network. Because that Io Shirai versus Mia Yam match probably is better without the interruptions, to be honest. The interruptions kind of kept blowing the flow for me of that. And I think they put on a pretty good match.
Oh, yeah, because it would be good. And then they cut it, and you come back, and you have to get back into it again. And then it goes back.
Wait, do they still have it on the network?
Oh, yeah.
Live?
Oh, yeah.
No,
not live.
No, like but like after? On demand, like the next day or after the show's over with, probably.
Yeah, or the next day. And you know what? I didn't watch it live anyway. So it's kind of like makes me wonder, well, maybe
I
should watch it that way without the interruptions and it might be a lot better show. Piggybacking off that, I think the Mia... The Shirai, and then also the Baszler, Candice LeRae was better than anything AEW did with the women. I think they are better on the women's side of things still. I did not like Nyla Rose.
Like the Riho Nyla Rose match?
No, she was a botch fest. She's the second coming of, what's her name? The one in the WWE, The Rock's cousin.
Nia Jax?
Yeah, Nia Jax, man. There was a lot of botches, man.
Plenty of them. I think that's why they didn't put the title on her.
Because they actually watched it for once.
And no, they've been watching it, but they were hoping
be better.
For something better because then they would have a bigger story. Mm-hmm. But fans that are watching wrestling, you want the best wrestler to win it in that case. I mean, it shouldn't be about the story. You want the best product moving forward. If you want a good story, improve yourself.
SCU Lucha Bros thing, what was that about? They were just talking?
That was just to kind of get them on screen. There were some weird things done to get people on screen. Let's go into that real fast. I thought of that. No promos, really. NXT did zero promos, pretty much.
Yeah.
There was very limited promos on AEW. Did the shows need promos?
NXT did do some promos though. They had the Tegan Knox. They had the Tegan Knox bit. They had Velveteen Dream came out, and then they had somebody else. I think what AEW just did the SCU thing, right?
Well, and a couple things in the ring.
They did some that Riho Nyla Rose. They kind of talked about that. Let them talk a little.
And then where Shivani went in the ring for
They did. Cody. They did give the backstory, like the beginning before the Cody Rhodes match. They showed him running and things like that, and they kind of told the story.
Oh, it was kind of
that'd be comparable to the Tegan Knox thing. Yeah, that's why I'm gonna say.
Remember the WCW thing where Shivani would go to the ring and talk to them? They're doing the same thing where he walks into the ring. It's not like filmed backstage before.
Yeah,
it's live and they're in the ring talking to them.
Yeah, that's a Mean Gene Okerlund thing actually too.
Yeah.
Mean Gene used to do a lot of that where he would walk up and do those interviews. And going back to that interview I heard with Tony Khan, he said that he doesn't want backstage shit. He says the stage is the ring and he wants stuff done out in front of the arena. So we're not going to see a lot of backstage stuff. So they're going to try to do a lot of the promos on the stage. On the ring, at the announce booth, a lot of that kind of stuff. They're not going to do it like the what he calls it, the invisible camera. I hate the invisible camera, he said. And we're not doing that.
That makes sense.
And so Everything happens out front. So we are going to see a little bit of that.
Right. The ring is your canvas.
You talked about this a little bit up front, Joey, about Full Sail versus a big arena.
Yeah, like the same crowd every night before, besides traveling.
So do they go on the road? Do they eventually, because if they get whooped for a month?
I think they have to.
Start going
they
on
have,
the road?
They have to. I'm pretty sure that the NXT regular crowd is, they're just there. They're there every week. And you said that, like, on AEW scene that, what's his name? Well, Kevin Smith was there and the Jay was there, whatever his real name is. And mm-hmm. they were there because they paid for it, but you said that they probably told Scott Hall and Kevin Nash to show up for NXT.
Well, I don't know. They were also there promoting their movie, but there's nothing wrong with that. Some good promotion.
Right, because Chris Jericho is in that movie.
And so they get to hype their movie, and you get to have them on TV, so you get some more nerds to watch. Comics and wrestling, yeah. On a gig. So, yeah, smart stuff.
That's a good idea, comics and wrestling.
Somebody should do something with that.
Yeah, definitely. Where can you find something like that?
I don't know. The internet's pretty vast. There's got to be something.
Yeah. We should start something like that.
All right, I got one more thing before we hit the ratings. Did you feel there were too many beatdowns?
No.
It seemed like in AEW, every time I turned around, someone was getting beat down. I felt that we could have done without Nyla Rose beating down Riho, and then it didn't make sense for Omega to come out there and get involved in that.
Well, Omega trained her when she was like 7, but I mean, he...
But Omega's in an angle where he's nuts.
Yeah, when he pushed Nyla, I was like, wait, is that going to get people like to talk about that? Because he pushed Nyla Rose, and I was kind of confused. And he got in the ring just to, like, talk to Riho, make sure she was okay. Yeah.
I like Riho. I think she'll make a good champion. She's not as good as Io or Kairi or Asuka, but I think she's will make a good champion. And I think you'll get some more matches. Oh, you know, one other thing I forgot. I almost forgot it. There were dark matches, by the way.
For who?
For AEW. To open the show, Darby Allin faced Seema. To close the show, the Lucha Bros faced Angelico and Jack Evans. And Cassidy and the Best Friends got involved.
Orange Cassidy. Oh.
And the Best Friends got involved. Then it was followed by a women's match. Bea Priestley and somebody else got beat by Britt Baker and Allie.
Wow, so they gave those fans their money's worth.
SCU fought Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy.
So there was like two shows. They did another like 2 hours after. They did three matches
after, one before. So they gave the fans some stuff. You can feel like you went and you saw a bunch of things.
Yeah. Wait. I'm so confused then. Were the fans confused like that there were...
No, because you probably expected...
It's just wrestling. Because they just watched it as wrestling.
Yeah, those guys are... I mean, all of them are like genuine.
I wouldn't want to see... I wish I would have seen that. Yeah. Like, those matches sound good.
They were true dark matches, so there was probably no story building. It was just like these guys came out and they had a match kind of thing.
Like, Lucha Bros versus Angelico and Jack Evans sounds like a great match.
Yeah, and then you get interference from, you know, the Best Friends. You know, Orange Cassidy does a dive and, yeah, all kinds of stuff. That's what I read, at least. And then I'm trying to think who Bea Priestley's opponent was. Darn it. I think it's the girl that's with Joey Janela.
Who's that? You know,
doesn't he have a... Someone comes out with him. She came out with him on the very first Battle Royal. Oh, it's going to kill me. But I'll remember it later. Is there a Sadie Gibbs, maybe? Or is that the one that she doesn't like?
I think that's the one she doesn't like.
Okay, so it wasn't her then. It was someone she gets along with. But... Yeah, it made more sense because I saw some of those wrestlers, you know, tweeting that they were on their way to DC. They were going to be there for the big night, and then we didn't see them. I thought, well, that's weird. But yeah, we had matches. Oh, pretty cool. Last thing, the ratings. You were really concerned about the ratings last week, Joey. 1.4 million for AEW.
And last week, that's around what NXT got, didn't it?
I don't think they were that high.
No, NXT doesn't get that many.
So how many did NXT get
I think
this
NXT
week?
Got like their normal numbers actually this week.
Yeah. But they still got, I think, something like 8 or 9,000.
800 and some thousand, yeah.
Yeah. Think about how many wrestling people are watching wrestling.
Well, and then
that's a lot of people. That's almost 2,000.
For the replay, I think it said that AEW had another 400 and some thousand.
Wow.
So that's almost 2 million people watched it. I mean, some probably watched it twice.
I did.
So you
not
were
the whole show, but since it was 15, since NXT was 15 minutes longer, I didn't want to turn over and watch the last 15 minutes. I wanted to watch the whole thing together. So I watched 15 minutes of AEW again before I switched over. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it was a good week.
It was.
Yes, sir.
There's not much this week. I know there's some New Japan, but other than that, it's going to be a quiet weekend as we wait for next week. Oh, no, there's a big pay-per-view, isn't there?
Is there a ring? No, not a Ring of Honor.
I'm making a joke. WWE pay-per-view.
Oh, wait.
Hell in the Cell, I think, is this weekend, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, are the only NXT pay-per-views the takeovers?
Yes.
Okay.
So but that's okay. Things from that interview, he's only going to do 4 major pay-per-views a year. AEW is going to do 4 major pay-per-views a year.
I think that's around what
that's
NXT
good
is.
On my pocketbooks.
Yep. Now, they may do a few, like the Fyter Fest, where you get some free stuff on B&R. And do some kind of like special Saturday weekend things, but there's not going to be any more like big pay-per-views.
So big pay-per-views are like all out, double or nothing?
Nothing. Full gear.
Full gear.
And then whatever the fourth one they make. So the one they haven't made yet is their winter one in essence. Their one after the holidays, like January to whatever will be the next one. Other interesting thing I took from the interview really fast. I knew that Riho was going to win after I heard that interview. They are 110% all in on this Joshi thing. They are going to make the women's division focus around the Joshi. That is going to be the thing because they think Joshi can be what cruiserweights were when cruiserweights were first introduced in WCW. So it's going to be one of their big calling cards is this Joshi thing. So I'm not shocked that she won.
I'm not shocked either. If you watch like Stardom or DDT and watch some of these women wrestle, you'll be like, holy smokes, they can go.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's a girl in Stardom that they need to get who's a heel, a legit heel, because they need a heel if they're good. Because so far they've just bring in the happy Joshi's over. You know what I mean?
Right.
The smiley happy. They need one of the mean ones. It will do a longer. Because they need more heels. B can't be the only heel.
No. No.
Are they going to get some of the girls that were in the the Battle Royal?
I hope so. I hope so because I'm not sold on Britt Baker personally. I think Allie's pretty good, but I'm not sold on Britt Baker. Nyla kind of didn't live up to the rest. I think B's incredible, but I don't know how much they're going to have her because she's full time with another place. Brandy's good on the mic, but not good in the ring. So they need to bump it up. Aja Khan, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Awesome Khan.
Aja Khan versus Awesome Khan thing.
Yep. Well, that's it. That's all I have for this week. We are taking a break next week. I have a wedding to deal with. Fred has some birthday parties. So we're going to be gone. Sorry, guys. You're going to have to get your wrestling fix somewhere else. But we at least can give you a comic book fix.
Yes.
We are going to be dropping 2 episodes of Indie Alley. I mean, not of Indie Alley. God, I can't even talk. Of Nerds from the Underground. So you'll get our normal, which hopefully will be our schedule, our Thursday Nerds from the Underground drop. And then on Sunday, we'll have another Nerds from the Underground episode dropped. Fred's going to be on them. But They're not like he recorded them a while ago or something. I'm not sure, right? Or you still got to record one.
I recorded one, and then Johnny and I are going to record two on Sunday. So when this drops, we'll probably be on the mic recording two more episodes that we'll keep one in the vault for, you know, just in case, and drop one of those two.
Yeah, so we can deal these things. I have, like I said, a big wedding. I have one of my daughters getting married. Got to put on the suit. So
Got to get jiggy with it. You work on your dance moves?
Ah, shit, no, because there's probably going to be a lot of shit kicker music for this. She's marrying a cowboy.
Well, are you going to bring the maracas and do the line dance?
Oh, I'm not.
You don't do that?
Beer. I'm going to be like Mance Warner. I'm going to drink beer.
Light beers?
Some light beers.
Okay. You got cowboy boots for your suit?
Kinda. I got those half cowboy boots.
Yeah. Like those Sam Elliott boots?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Arizona, man. Can't get away from it. So, as always, follow and subscribe the Nerdy Legion on iTunes, on the nerdylegion.com website, or any other podcasting app that you enjoy. Definitely Spotify. You need to look for Nerdy Legion. If you look in the alley, you'll find our old feed, and that doesn't update. So you want to go to Nerdy Legion.
Yeah, you have to go to nerdylegion.com and then click on the Spotify link, and it'll take you right there, and then you can subscribe from there.
Yeah. Or you just can go to search Nerdy Legion, and you can subscribe to all of them. Same thing with YouTube. We're going to figure out what's going on with that and get that straight. If you're a YouTube, let us know if we have a lot of YouTube list, people that are like, whoa, why aren't you putting it on YouTube? Cause
it was... did those guys quit? I knew they were going to quit. They sucked.
And as always, follow our page at Indie Alley. I know Fred doesn't, but you know, you guys should. We talk about wrestling. We talk about comics. We talk about pretty much everything we talk about on the show. I'm doing most of the tweeting, though he does get in there and tweet sometimes and like stuff.
So on don't, accident. Don't buy it. On accident, I was like, oh, dang, I just retweeted that. I thought that was my page.
So, yeah, he's really looking. I just blew your kayfabe.
No, but whatever, dude. That's not true. Fake news.
You can find me at Real Comics, R-E-E-L Comics. You can find Fred at Comics Fred.
Yes.
I got it right. Yep. And you can find our other show at Nerds From, because we don't get enough characters. No. So Nerds From the Underground.
That's
and
true.
And that's it for this week. Everyone have a good time. See you in two.
Yeah. Wrestling's real.